County cricket, international cricket, test cricket, franchise cricket, red ball, white ball, 100-ball cricket. At The Cricketer, we care about the cricket you love. And that's why this December, we're launching a brand new app built for fans of the English game. Download The Cricketer app and sign up to our Access All Areas Pass to receive agenda-setting journalism and illuminating storytelling straight to your phone. The latest news from the England camps, a dedicated daily service for fans of the 18 first-class counties, and committed coverage of women's cricket. Download the app today and enjoy 1 month for free unlimited access. The Cricketer. We care about the cricket you love.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka The Cricket Connoisseur, and for the final time in 2021, I'm joined on my left by my Lancastrian co-host, Joe Nutsy, Nuttall. So Joe, mate, how's your day been so far?
Yeah, it's not too bad, thanks. Not really. Been up to much, to be fair, but almost Christmas. Four or five days, so yeah, it'll be good. And then the third test obviously starts on Boxing Day, which will be probably quite easy to predict, to be honest now, after the first two. So yeah, not too bad.
Well, that is excellent here, Joe. It really is. And just for the listeners out there, we are recording this on the 21st of December. The episode is, of course, going live today on Boxing Day. So fingers crossed, England will have got off to a good start at the mighty MCG. But it might be, but we have to remain, you know, as optimistic as we can during these dark winter times. But in terms of today's podcast, just for you listeners out there, today we're going to be talking about the Ashes. That'll be our first segment of today's Boxing Day special. Then we've got our end-of-year TCCP awards, and then we're going to wrap up today's episode with something a bit different, almost like a podcast yearly review, just going through our favourite moments, dream guests, stuff like that. Just a nice way to wrap up the final recording of 2021. But, Joe, before we get into all of that good stuff then, we have to start with the elephant in the room, England versus Australia, the 2021-22 Ashes. England, after two tests, find themselves 2-0 down, and with an absolutely monumental mountain to climb. Just for those who maybe haven't seen the Ashes so far, not aware of the exact results, England have not been playing too well, unfortunately, losing by 9 wickets in the opener at the Gabba and losing by 275 runs in the day-night test at the Adelaide Oval. So, Joe, we're not going to spend too much time dissecting each of the performances. We'll do an entire special episode in 2022 after the series has finished, in order to properly cover the series itself. But in terms of these first two games, what have you made of England's performances so far?
They've been pretty embarrassing, to be honest. I think it's fair to say, you know, they've not really put up much of a fight aside from Root and Milan and Butler, apart from that, and Wokes. And apart from that, the batting's been poor, the bowling's been pretty poor. I mean, the fact that Ollie Robinson was bowling off spin in the second test kind of summed it up for me at the Adelaide Oval. So, yeah, I mean, Australia are obviously an incredible side, and they're an incredible side at home, but they were without two of the best bowlers in the world, and they had Jai Richardson, who has not played many tests, and Michael Nisa on debut. I mean, both are clearly very good bowlers, but they've not had much test experience or none at all in Nisa's case, and England didn't really make Australia pay for not having, well, not that it's Australia's fault, but you know, they didn't kind of make Australia pay for not having Hazelwood and Cummins available. And, I mean, Australia put them to the sword. I mean, Mitchell Starc with a pink ball is absolutely scary. And even if England were to pull it back to 2-2, the fact that the last test is a day-nighter, I just don't think England have a chance. So, hypothetically say it's 2-2 going into the Hobart test, I don't think England stand a chance, really, of winning that. Especially if they have, you know, Cummins and Hazelwood back.
It's interesting you say that, Joe, because Mitchell Starc with a pink ball averages 19, which is absolutely terrifying for the English batsman.
He's taken like 50 wickets with pink ball, no?
He's got an incredible record. He really has got an absolutely insane record as Mitchell Starc. And to be honest, England were just second best in that test match yet again in this series. And I have to ask you about two people in particular, and they are Joe Root and Chris Silverwood. We'll have a question for each. And the first one is about Joe Root. Clearly very frustrated, very animated in that post-match interview after the Adelaide day-night test match. And he was saying about the bowling lengths. You know, they were too short. They weren't bowling full enough. If you look at Australia, they tested the English batsmen by bowling nice and full and got duly rewarded. Whereas England, for a couple of sessions, just constant short ball after short ball after short ball, getting punished by David Warner, punished by Marnus, punished by Travis Head. What have you made of Joe Root's leadership so far? Maybe not just for this series, but in 2021 as a whole, because at the start of the year, he said very clearly in a post-match interview, 2021 will define me as a captain. And if you look at England's record so far this year, aside from the Sri Lanka series, we've lost to India in India. We've lost to New Zealand at home. Well, I suppose it's an incomplete series, but we are currently 2-1 down to India in our second home series of the summer. And we're currently 2-0 down against Australia. So England have not had a very good time of the Test arena in 2021 at all. We do go down 2-1 in that India series. It's the first time since 2001 that England have not won a Test series in a home summer. And now we're staring down the barrel of another potential 4-5-0 in the Ashes for the third series in a row. What do you make of Joe Root's leadership, Joe? And in terms of the longer term, I don't know, the longer term picture, the outlook for England as a Test side, do you see Joe Root as the right man to lead the side heading into the future?
Yeah, look, obviously people can criticise Joe Root. Let's be honest, England have not really played the best Test cricket since the World Cup in 2019 almost. Well, next summer, that'll be 3 years ago. And this series, you know, I think the big issue is they don't have a fast bowler for every Test. Obviously, Mark Wood, I assume, can't play this Test. I assume he was not fully fit to play at the Adelaide Oval. Should he have played at the Gabba? Maybe not. But, I mean, I would like to see a fast bowler play every Test, a genuine fast bowler play every Test. It's frustrating. England knew they weren't going to have Jofra Archer available. He gets into the side without a doubt. And England knew they weren't going to have him available for, what, 8 months, 9 months? And they knew they weren't going to have Ollie Stone available for, I don't know how long he's been injured for, 4 months?
He's been injured since the New Zealand series. He got injured at Edgbaston in the second Test.
So there you go. So they've known for ages and ages. So to only go into this series with only Mark Wood is a bit, well, naive, really, I would say. You know, you've got Saqib Mahmood, who he just took four on his Big Bash debut in Australia on quick wickets, and he bowls 90 miles an hour. You know, there's someone who, he's already in Australia. He's clearly good in Australia because he's just got a load of wickets in Australia. Call him up. You know, just as cover, if anything, just call him up. There's loads of bowlers. I'm not saying that these guys should play, but just off the top of my head, Lanks have two other like absolutely fast bowlers. Although he's been injured, Richard Gleeson, he bowls 90 miles an hour. Again, I'm not saying he should be in the Ashes squad, but it's just examples. Luke Wood bowls 90 miles an hour. So to rely on Stokes to bowl, to pretty much do the job that Mark Wood would have been doing, or Mahmood, or if he was fit, Archer or Stone, then, you know, it's naive, because Ben Stokes, also, you have to rely on him a lot with the bat. It's really him, Root and Milan, who you have to rely on. And to rely on Stokes to do two massive roles, Stokes must have been absolutely knackered after that first day. He must have been, like, dead on his feet. And, like, he has personally been through a lot this, you know, this year as well. And I don't know. I just think, like, whilst you can blame Root as well, I just think the whole selection and everything is just such a naive, you know, way of going about it. And, you know, even not really bringing a genuine, like not putting Ben Folkes on the tour. Like, why? He was in Australia. Why not just add him to the squad? You know, I know Butler batted well in the second innings, but he didn't really do what, he did what he needed to do for that situation. But aside from that, has he really done enough in Test cricket recently? I mean, I'm a Lance fan. Josh Butler's one of my favourite players, but it gets to a point where you kind of ask that. And, you know, obviously Johnny Bairstow as well. Should he be in the side for Ollie Pope? Could he keep? Is he better? You know, there's so many questions to be asked. And I do think the selection overall has been dead naive. And I think it's almost like, I mean, Silverwood said it himself, didn't he? We would not have changed the team selection. And it's like, well, did you watch the second Test? You needed a spinner. You had Ollie Robinson bowling off spin, and he's been our best seamer this season or this year. And I just think it's really poor.
It is indeed, Joe. And it's funny you mentioned selection, because that has been a rather pressing theme with regards to this year's Ashes and incorrect selection from our head coach, Chris Silverwood. Now, he's been under a lot of fire recently because of some of the comments he's been making in the media as well. You mentioned that just then. You wouldn't change the team selection. We're 2-0 down. I don't know what exactly the thought process of that statement was, as though he thought that he was in the right, because clearly The team selection was incorrect. Jack Leach or Don Bess should have been playing in that test match. It says it all when in Australia's second innings, England's two leading wicket takers were Joe Root and Dawid Malan. Dawid Malan, who, by the way, had never even taken a test wicket before this game, bowling his leg spin. We should have bowled a spinner. And again, that's something I've mentioned this on the podcast before. Chris Silverwood really does mismanage England's spinners. But again, we'll talk about that in more detail post the Ashes in our review show in 2022. And the other thing as well that I will say, I'm not sure if anyone read this in Wisden, and this was after the first test, but he came out in the media and said that he plans for England to be none for one in a test match. England planned for that. And I just read that, and then I read it again, and then I read it a third time, and I could not believe what I was reading, because what kind of message does that send to your opening batsman in Rory Burns and Haseeb Hameed, as though neither of you are good enough to survive to get us a 50 partnership or a 100 partnership? And second of all, you're saying that during the Ashes. Australia must have read that and been laughing themselves silly. And they had every right to be, because to say you expect to be none for one in a test match is absolutely crazy. It's absolutely
crazy. That is a ridiculous thing to say. I mean, like, that's the first time I've heard that. And I cannot believe that I just heard that. Like, I mean, also, as well as what does that say to, you know, your current owners? What does that say to the likes of, I know you're running back in the side, Dom Sibley, and, you know, other, what does that say to Libby? What does that say to Libby as well, Jake Libby? Sibley has been dropped from the side. Libby's got a load of runs, and he couldn't even make the Lions squad. Like, what does that say to these guys? You know, if what does that even say to the likes of, you know, Alistair Cook? He's England's greatest ever opening batsman. And, you know, he scored, what, almost 1,000 runs in that 2010-11 tour. And you're now saying, like, it's kind of, I don't know, it feels kind of like mocking him, really.
Or defeatist.
Yeah.
That's the issue that I have. It's almost that feeling that we...
It's a terrible attitude to have.
Exactly. It's almost as though we're bound to fail after just one game in the series. So that's something that I just picked up on. And again, people have all sorts of different opinions. As I said, you can find that on Wisden's website. But in terms of his coaching, I mean, Joe, I have to ask the question now, before we go on to our awards, we go on to our podcast wrap-up show. In terms of Chris Silverwood, the coach, if England are to lose this series 4 or 5-0, let's hope that they don't. We're keeping every single thing crossed that England can come back into the series, show some resilience, show some grit, some determination, some fight and some fortitude, and try and spare our blushes. But if England do lose this series 4 or 5-0, is that Chris Silverwood's tenure over, in your opinion?
I think it probably is. I don't really think England have been very good since Trevor Bailey's left. I know I mentioned the Ashes. They still technically drew the Ashes in 2019.
We were outplayed in that series. Let's not forget Ben Stokes. That was an individual performance which saved our skin after being bowled out for 67.
Definitely. And I'm not, you know, like, they were coming off the back of winning the World Cup, and that would have been an incredible summer to do a double.
True.
But, you know, I just think England have not played particularly good cricket. I know they got to the World Cup semi-final, but the World T20 semi-final, but in a World T20, that's actually quite easy. You only have to win 3 games to get out of the group, really. And, you know, for a side as good as England, who, like, were genuinely one of the favourites, you know, they should be getting out of the group every single time. So I just don't think England have particularly played very good cricket since under Silverwood, and that's a shame because, you know, he did really, really well at Essex. He did incredibly well at Essex. And it's just not worked out for him, unfortunately. But, hey, there's still 3 tests to go. You never know. That's a very positive outlook by myself, to be fair. But, you know, I do probably think it would be time to go at the end of the Ashes. And who would replace him, I don't know. I really don't know. But it needs to be... I mean, I know who you would like to replace him, probably. But it needs to be someone who's had experience of winning things, who has just a winner's mentality. And at the end of the day, if you're not good enough to play test cricket, then you're going to get kind of like found out pretty quick. And I think that's probably happened with some of these players at least in the squad. And maybe they shouldn't be in the side. And I do think if we did see a new head coach and a new kind of more neutral selection policy and more neutral selectors, then I do think that we would see a drastically different team. And I don't remember who it was, but I saw it online. It might have been Elizabeth Hammond, but I might be wrong on saying that. But I think she said she wanted Owen Morgan.
You're right. That is correct. Yeah, I thought in the Times. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's an interesting shout. I don't know if Owen Morgan at all would ever take that job, but I do think it would be a lot more fair under Morgan. That's for sure.
Well, we'll have to wait and see, won't we, Joe? We will have to wait and see. And again, that is the conversation topic for that series review in 2022, because I have a feeling we will have a lot to unpack from this series, but hopefully just some positives as well, because I know I'm not alone in saying this. Joe, you'll feel the exact same. England fans across the world will think the exact same. I can't stand being negative about the team that I support. I cannot stand it. But in these moments, you have to constructively criticise at times. You have to look at yourselves. What could we do better? How could we strive to improve? Because at the moment, this isn't good enough for an Ashes series. Okay, this is, I know India-Pakistan, massive, massive rivalry, but in terms of the history behind the Ashes, it's 139 years of history. Okay, Australia have got 33 wins. England have got 32. We had a chance this year to really send out a message that we can go into these tough overseas conditions, battle really, really hard, and maybe get results. And so far, that isn't just happening. So it's a massive, massive shame. I'm going to be honest, I've been very disappointed by the performances so far. I've been incredibly disappointed with the oversight of letting the Lions return home as well. When James Bracey's just scored a century against Australia A, you've got Matt Parkinson now, who's going to be back home here in the winter, doing net sessions, fair enough. But I just think, what would be more beneficial?
Bohannon as well.
Bohannon is another one, but in terms of Matt Parkinson in particular, Joe, what would be more useful to his development? Spending a winter in England in familiar conditions in the Lancashire Nets, or spending another few weeks in Australia, learning the conditions, having chats with Joe Root, Dad Milan, Ben Stokes, in terms of what he could do to improve his spin bowling against the best of the best, talking with Jeetan Patel, sharing knowledge from spinner to spinner. I mean, for me,
the opportunity might even arise to speak to Shane Warne. And the same goes for Mason Crean. Shane Warne's there. He's I don't know about bubble situations, but Shane Warne is certainly involved in this Ashes on commentary. So who knows? He might be able to speak to Nathan Lyon, him and Mason Crean. And that's why Don Best is still out there, correct?
Yes.
So, I mean, that's a great opportunity for Don Best. If he gets a chance to speak to Lyon, he's going to learn so much, even just for half an hour's conversation with him. Lyon can teach him so much. So I do think, again, that's another naive thing that they've done, is at the end of the day, you've got players out there who are, as you say, either going to have a net in their county's indoor schools, which are all obviously going to be, you know, good standard, and you're still going to be practicing and developing, but it doesn't really match to be, even if just being in and around the Ashes squad, running your rinks on or something like that, even if you know you're not going to play, just being there at an Ashes test and being on the pitch at an Ashes test is just like unrivaled, and being like up close to it and watching it. So yeah, I agree. I think it's, again, naive from England, but yeah, we'll see what happens. And there are players out there in the BBL. Sam Billings has just got another 50. He's got a load of runs, so maybe he gets caught up. You know, Harry Brooks out there as well. Maybe those two guys potentially get caught up to the fourth test or the third test. But I don't see that happening. But you never know.
We'll have to wait and see, won't we, Joe? But again, I suppose an air of naivety and also stubbornness as well, as though the 18-man squad's already good enough. We don't need the Lions. But I think that so far this series,
even if they just put Ben Foulkes in the squad.
Well, obviously, people have been mentioning Ben Foulkes. They've been mentioning Josh Bohannon. We did on Twitter as well. Tom Abel's another one, because he also adds leadership qualities. Matt Parkinson, because England want that more aggressive spin option. Again, there's a load of players who, even if they weren't playing, could have learned a heck of a lot from this tour, and unfortunately, simply won't. But again, that's down to England selections. It's down to the ECB and their management of these players. And yeah, there's nothing that we can do as fans, but the one thing that we can do as fans, and I just want to make this very, very clear, is support the team. Okay, I know it's really, really hard at the moment. We're all waking up early, going to bed late as well, in the cases of these day-night matches. But the one thing that we need to do as fans, as a collective, is just back this team. After the series, the post-mortems, the autopsies of the performances, they can come out to the fore. But for the time being, you can see that the team are absolutely struggling at the moment. They're struggling for form. They're struggling to bat. They're struggling to get any breakthroughs. They need our backing more than ever. So don't go tagging them on Twitter with these personal tirades and, you know, going in the mentions, going in the messages, giving them all a load of stick. Get behind the boys, back them, support them, just as the overseas fans have been doing in Adelaide and Brisbane. And let's just keep our fingers crossed that England can overturn their fortunes, because that's what we all want. We all want the best for English cricket. We want these boys to perform. It's as simple as that. I absolutely hate what we've seen so far, because I know that these guys have got a heck of a lot more talent. Ollie Pope, we've seen him year in, year out in the Championship. He's got a first-class average of over 60, and yet something just isn't working on the biggest stage of all. Haseeb Hameed as well. We know what he can do. It was fantastic for Lancs. He's had this renaissance in his career at Nottinghamshire, and he's a lot better than scores of 27, 25, a duck and six. Okay, we all know that for a fact. He's a much better player than this. So we as fans back the players, keep our fingers crossed, and hopefully England can, who knows, maybe pull off something special in Melbourne or Sydney. I suppose we'll know at the end of the Boxing Day test in a few days' time. But Joe, Ashes talk aside, because I do want to leave that for a specialist show, we do, of course, have our end-of-season TCCP awards. Now, we've got a number of categories. We've got a number of nominees. And yeah, Joe, do you reckon we should do some Twitter polls after this as well? You know, get the listeners involved, maybe see who they would have selected if they agree or disagree with us?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, everything like this is subjective, isn't it? So, everyone's going to have different opinions. We would definitely have different opinions. Interesting to see what other people think. And there's no right answer unless it is a genuinely ridiculous answer. But generally, there's no right answer. So, we'll see what happens.
We will indeed, Joe. And I think the best place to start with our 2021 TCCP Awards is with the County Championship Player of the Season. So in terms of my nominees for this, I went with Luke Fletcher of Nottinghamshire. I went with Tom Haynes of Sussex. And I went with Matt Critchley of Derbyshire. Joe, who do you think I selected as the winner of this prestigious award?
I think there can only be one there, and that is Luke Fletcher for me. That's who you would have gone for. But also, I know you're a big fan of him, so...
Drum roll, please, listeners. Oh, it was, of course, Luke Fletcher. Yes, it was. It was only ever going to be one man. Just to read you some stats from Luke Fletcher's extraordinary season for the East Midlands outfit. 66 wickets with an average of 14.9, including 4 5-wicket hauls and a 10-wicket haul against Worcestershire at Trent Bridge. To sum him up in one word, I'd just say magnificent, exquisite, resplendent. That's how I would describe Luke Fletcher's performances in a nutshell in 2021. He was remarkable. Every single review show, Joe, his name kept on cropping up again and again and again, didn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's so effective in English conditions, especially early April, whatever, and also late on in the year, which is, by the way, another issue with Test cricket. Why we're so bad at Test cricket is we never play in the middle of the summer, but that's a different issue. It works for Luke Fletcher because he got a bunch of wickets this season. And to be honest, I do still think he could do it in the middle of the year as well. But, it plays right into his hands, and he's an incredible bowler. And he showed that by getting 66 wickets this season. So, I mean, as I say, not such an incredible bowler there, as we've known for years. And he's just showing again why he's so good.
He certainly has, Joe. And yeah, what a season it was for Luke Fletcher and Dane Patterson, the two partners in crime at Trent Bridge. 120 wickets between them. Extraordinary. Absolutely remarkable. So the County Cricket Podcast's Championship Player of the Year for 2021 is, of course, Luke Fletcher. So well done, Fletch. You've been absolutely remarkable all season long. Fingers crossed we get the chance to have him on the podcast in 2022. And I think we're both in agreement there, Joe. A very, very worthy winner of this award.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Fantastic. Well then, Joe, I'll pass over to you now then for the Royal London One Day Cup Player of the Year. This should be interesting because there's a number of names, aren't there? In particular from Durham, the winners Glamorgan as well. We saw a lot of good young talent. Joe, who was your Royal London One Day Cup Player of the Year in 2021?
So for me, my winner, I think standout winner as well for me is Graham Clark. 646 runs, average of 80.75, 300s. And, you know, just an incredible batsman, incredible opening batsman. Exactly the kind of opening batsman that I love to watch, to be honest. So he absolutely nails a cricket ball. And it was very, very good to watch in this season. Whenever I caught some of him playing. So, I mean, for me, as I say, standout winner for me.
Fair enough, Joe. This is weird. This is weird. We don't usually agree back to back, do we, when it comes to cricket? We do have some very different opinions sometimes when it comes to the game of leather on willow, but I also did go with Graham Clark. And another thing as well, which was so impressive, the strike rates, 98.92 in a List A competition. Absolutely fantastic. Dominated from ball one, got his team on the front foot. And the 141 from 119 balls against Kent in Beckenham was one of the finest knocks of the season. If Tim David maybe wouldn't have, you know, produced that wonderful knock at the Oval against Warwickshire, which I was there for, maybe it would have been the top. But honestly, Graham Clark, what a year it was for a former guest here on the podcast. 3 centuries, 646 runs. What an incredible tournament Graham Clark had. So yet again, for the second time on this podcast, Joe, we are in agreement. The County Cricket Podcast's Royal London One Day Cup Player of the Year for 2021 is Graham Clark from Durham County Cricket Club. So well done, Graham. Definitely, definitely worthy winner, to say the least. I mean, you've got us to an agreement. So well done, Clarky. Absolutely fantastic stuff, to say the very least. So moving on from the Royal London One Day Cup then, Joe, we have our third and final of the county men's domestic competitions, which is, of course, the Vitality T20 Blast Player of the Year. So in terms of some of my nominees, in terms of some of the players who I thought were worthy of receiving this award, I went with Josh Inglis from Leicestershire. I went with Naveen Ulhaq, also from Leicestershire County Cricket Club. And my third and final one was Glenn Phillips, Gloucestershire's destructive Kiwi middle-order batsman. Joe, who do you think I went with in the end? This might not be too surprising, given one of the knocks that he produced.
Yeah, I think it's Glenn Phillips. For me, he was incredible this season. And it's the first time he's been in, you know, been playing in England in T20 cricket. And for me, he was like a breath of fresh air. And I would honestly, that's who I would have gone for, genuinely. Well, actually, I would have gone for Tom Hartley, but nah. Yeah, I mean, for me, yeah, Glenn Phillips deserves to win that because I think he was excellent, especially in the middle order, scored a lot of runs.
It's interesting you say that. That isn't who I selected, unfortunately. Although he did have a fantastic season, 500 plus runs. Some of the shots that he produced as well, the ridiculous scoop shot against Glamorgan. Lucy was
exactly
there for that.
He's a really modern day player, and that's, again, that's what I love so much about him. He's such a good player. So that's who I would have gone for, but who did you go for?
This probably won't surprise people, because one of his knocks resulted in the Bears reaching the quarterfinals. I am, of course, talking about Josh Inglis, the leading run scorer in the 2021 T20 Blast, 531 runs. A strike rate, just listen to this, 175.82, including two massive centuries, one of which was that masterful 118 not out against Worcestershire in the Foxes' final group stage game of the season. So I went with Josh Inglis. Glenn Phillips would have been a completely worthy recipient as well, as would Naveen. I mean, with Glenn Phillips and Naveen Ulhaq, both debut seasons, actually, same with Josh Inglis, all three of them debutants in the Blast in 2021. But the way in which all three of them just adapted to conditions so quickly, they dominated opposition bowling and batting lineups throughout the season. All three of them definitely worthy winners. But for me, I had to select Josh Inglis. I thought the recruitment from Dan Weston, Paul Nixon, and the Leicestershire County Cricket Club staff to bring him in, to identify him as
and
a
Naveen.
Target, and Naveen as well. Exactly.
Both of them, the leading run scorer and wicket taker, you know, respectively. So that was some incredible recruitment, as you say, from the guys down at Leicester. But I mean, yeah, for me, I just think Phillips is a great player. I can see why you're going. I think anybody there, as you say, was a worthy winner. But I just think Phillips is an exceptional player. Although I did see English play, he got 50 at Old Trafford in the Blast, which was, yeah, he hit like two or three ramps into the pavilion. For boundaries, some of them might have gone for sixes, and yeah, that was excellent. But I've seen him play in the Big Bash before, and I've always thought he'd be good to watch live, and I got the opportunity to do that. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool, I must admit, Joe. That is actually pretty cool. And to be fair to Leicestershire, next season as well, They have got Naveen Ul-Haq back. They've got Vian Mulder and Ramanullah Gurbaz as well. Fantastic young talent from Afghanistan. So, yeah, some exciting times at Grace Road next season. If you are in the Leicestershire vicinity, get yourself down to Grace Road, watch the Foxes in action. I would definitely recommend it. So we're split here, Joe. So this one might have to go to the Twitter poll. So for you listeners out there, we'll put it up on the County Cricket 2 on Twitter. Who would you say is your T20 Blast player of the year? Would you go with Josh Inglis from Leicestershire or Glenn Phillips from Gloucestershire? Or would you disagree with both of us?
We can add Naveen in there.
We'll add Naveen. And you know what, Joe? We'll even add another option. If you disagree with both of us, let us know. Who do you think should have been the T20 Blast player of the year in 2021? Because there's a lot of recipients. There's a lot of potential nominees. Who do you think deserves to win that award? We'll put up on Twitter at the County Crick 2 on, when should we put it? The 27th, Joe. We'll put it up on the 27th. So we'll put it up tomorrow for everyone tuning in on Boxing Day. But aside from that one, Joe, our first, well, we didn't agree on that one, did we? Our first disagreement of today's award show. We move on to the domestic women's competition. And we start with the Charlotte Edwards Cup player of the season. So, Joe, I'll hand over to you now. Who did you go for as the 2021 CE Cup Player of the Year award winner?
Yeah, again, for me, pretty obvious choice. I go for Eve Jones. I mean, she was, she got the most runs, so you can't really argue with that. And I just think to get the most runs over a tournament, you're clearly a good player. And, you know, she's got Lions recognition. She got WBBL recognition. And I don't think an England call-up is too far away for Eve Jones. So
fingers
for me,
crossed.
she's a really, really good player. And it was good to see her score so many runs. So yeah, I think, as I say, you can't really argue if you get the most runs. You know, you can't really go wrong with that. So I think she more than deserves that. Averaging 55. I don't think you can knock her for that. So yeah, for me, Eve Jones.
This is about to shock the listeners, especially those who always say Warwickshire bias, Warwickshire bias, because Eve plays for my beloved Warwickshire. She plays for the Central Sparks. She is absolutely fantastic.
She used to play for Lancs as well. She used to play for Lancs.
I knew you'd get that in there at some point. And we've had her on the podcast as well.
I was tempted not to, but...
We've had her on the podcast as well, on the women's show, and she was an absolute delight. So part of me wants to agree, Joe. And in fact, I might agree. But then again, at the same time, I just want to throw someone else's hat into the ring. And I'm really surprised you didn't go with this player, and that is Emma Lamb from the Thunder.
Yeah, it was between those two.
I'll give you my reasoning as to why I thought she could have been the player of the season in the Charlotte Edwards Cup. Second leading run scorer with 218 runs in just four games. And the strike rate, 152.44, is absolutely ludicrous. And as if that wasn't enough, 9 wickets with a shrewd 5.07 economy rate. She had a magnificent year in the competition.
100%. And got an England call-up.
And got an England call-up.
Made her debut.
Exactly. So it's been a good year for Emma Lamb. Also, 100%. Along with Eve Jones, Anne Izzy Wong, Ellie Threlkeld as well, they've all been called up to the England A Tour of Australia. So also just congratulations to all of the players representing England in the Women's Ashes and in the England A Tour. And fingers crossed that can go well for the Three Lions.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough, Emma Lamb. Like, for, as I say, Eve Jones, most runs. Maybe Emma Lamb would have overtaken her had she played all the games. But I just think Eve Jones deserves that. I don't think you could. And she was the captain as well, which is, to get all those runs and to lead a side is hard. So yeah, I think she deserves that for me.
Well, look, Joe, as a Warwickshire fan, I'm not going to take this opportunity to disagree with you, am I? In fact, I'm absolutely shocked. I'm pleasantly surprised that you selected a Warwickshire player for the...
I can't go for a Lancs player every time. I can't. And she is a former Lancs player, so...
That's true. I suppose it's a semi-victory, isn't it, for yourself. But I will agree with you then in that case, Joe. I shall agree. I think that we'll go with the 2021 Charlotte Edwards Cup Player of the Year Award from the County Cricket Podcast. Is former guest Eve Jones. So congratulations, Eve. Yet another fantastic season. Hopefully, fingers crossed, 2022 can provide some more excellent moments, some fantastic memories in a Spark shirt. And yeah, who knows? Maybe the Midlands outfit can go on to win the trophy. We'll have to wait and see. Fingers crossed, I say, as a fan of the Central Sparks. But moving on to our second of the Women's Domestic Player of the Year awards, we go on to the Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy. Now, in terms of my nominees for this, Joe, I went with Kirsty Gordon from the Lightning. I went with Amy Jones from the Central Sparks. And I went with former guest Sophie Lough from the Western Storm. If you had the choice on this, who would you have gone for RHF Trophy Player of the Season?
I think for me, I would have gone for Amy Jones. I just think, I mean, I'm a massive fan of Amy Jones. I think she's basically filled Sarah Taylor's boots really, really well. And that's not easy to do. I think she's a great keeper and a great batter. I don't think she's ever really found her place to bat, but I think now she's discovering that middle order and a position at number 4 or 5 is her kind of, you know, where she should be batting, certainly for England. And I'm a big fan. I think she's a great player. So yeah, I would have gone for Amy Jones.
Joe, this is county cricket heritage right here. This is TCCP heritage we are witnessing on the podcast today. I agree, for obvious reasons. And again, just to back this up, Amy only played 3 games for the Sparks in this year's competition. She scored 282 runs with a 141 strike rate in a List A competition, striking at 141. And also in those 3 games, she took 5 catches, 1 stumping, and scored 2 centuries, one of which was a blistering 163 and out from 114 balls against the Storm at Edgbaston, which was a remarkable innings, to say the very least. And actually, that was the highest individual score of the entire competition. So, personally speaking, I was blown away by Amy's performances in this year's Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy. And for that reason, I just had to make her the award winner for this season. 2021 really has been a remarkable year for Warwickshire's finest. She's a wonderful keeper. She's a wonderful batter. And I love the intent that she shows at the crease, whether that's in 50 over or T20 cricket. She always likes to get on the front foot, put the pressure onto the opposition bowling attack. So Amy Jones for me, we are in agreement. Yet again, Joe, this is wonderful.
2 Joneses winning the award.
I know, that's weird. Although, and both from the Sparks related. As well.
Although neither related. I don't think, anyway.
No, they're not related.
No. I was gonna say, unless I miss something, they're not related.
But that's a strange coincidence, isn't it? I mean, 2 players called Jones, both from the Central Sparks, winning the 2 awards. But yeah, both worthy winners. So well done to Amy Jones. She is the County Cricket Podcast's 2021 RHF Trophy Player of the Season. So moving on from our Players Awards for the 2021 season, we go on to our coaching award for today's show, which is, of course, the County Cricket Head Coach of the Year. So, Joe, I'll pass over to you. I think you know exactly who I'm going to say. Okay, and I think the listeners are probably rolling their eyes right now. They know the name which is going to come out of my mouth in due course. But who would you say, in your opinion, was the best head coach of the 2021 county cricket season?
Well, I could have gone for Glenn Chappell. I was very tempted to. We came second in the championship, made the quarterfinals. If we made finals day, maybe I would have gone for Glenn Chappell. But I can't do that. And I know, obviously, you're going to go for Robinson. So just to be a bit different, I'm going to go for Matt Walker. Because I think Kent, we're not at all the best side on paper in the T20. I think that was Lancs, not Sussex, probably the best 3 sides on paper. But Kent, you know, I mean, Kent beat Sussex. And I think he's done an excellent job to coach Kent to the title. And they have a great team, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're not a good side. But compared to the likes of Notts and Lancs, they're not on paper as good. And we always say cricket's not played on paper. That proved. And I think Kent are a great team. And I enjoyed watching them, especially in that final. And they've done really, really well to get Case Armour back as well next season. He clearly loves it there. I seem to think from what I've gathered on Twitter and stuff, he gets on really well with Sam Billings. So I think they'll be strong outfits again. There's still nobody's retained the blast, but I think Kent will have a real good shot at doing that next season because, as I said, they've kept their overseas player and their whole like side right the way through is excellent. And another big signing that I think will go a bit under the radar in some ways is that Ryan Zender-Scott has come in as a batting coach.
I was about to say that.
And for me, that's, you know, I mean, he's one of the best modern day T20 players ever, arguably. And he's done it everywhere. He's done it all around the world. He knows English traditions really well. And I think he's going to be invaluable to them going forward. So genuinely, I could see Kent winning next year if Lancs don't. Let's just say Kent Lancs final. Let's just say that.
Well, we'll have to wait and see, won't we, Joe? That will be interesting, though. Kent, they've definitely got another good chance. They really have. I mean, on paper, and yes, we go back to that old adage. I'm not going to repeat it because we all know what it is by now if you've listened to the podcast. But When it comes to that Kent side with Daniel Bell Drummond, you got Joe Denley, Zach Crawley, Jordan Cox, Ollie Robinson, you got Sam Billings in there. And then that bowling attack as well. Case Ahmad, Harry Podmore, Matt Milnes, Darren Stevens. It's an outstanding, outstanding team on paper. So I expect Kent to challenge again in 2022. Obviously, T20, it's a bit of a frenetic, fast-paced format. You know, a dropped catch, a missed stumping, anything like that can change the entire outlook of a season, let alone a game. But we'll have to wait and see. So your choice is Matt Walker. And I know the Kent fans right now nodding along in agreement. He has been fantastic. And a very, very shrewd piece of business was bringing Nintendo from their biggest rivals as well. I mean, that's pretty big from across the bridge from Essex County Cricket Club. He's just retired and is now taking up the mantle down in Kent. So, yeah, watch out for that, Kent fans. We could see Jordan Cox and Ollie Robinson, those two in particular, I think are going to benefit massively from having Tendo in that coaching setup. But in terms of my head coach of the year, I think you know exactly what I'm going to say, Joe, and that is Mark Robinson, Don Robbo, as I call him here on the podcast. First year as head coach of Warwickshire County Cricket Club. And you just look at his achievements. Winner of the county championship for the first time in 9 years. We won the first class double by getting the Bob Willis trophy, which is such a special trophy to us as a club as well, considering that Bob Willis is a club legend. I mean, we're all so, so sad about his passing to this day. So to retain that trophy, to bring it to Edgbaston, which was Bob's home in the county cricket world, it means that much bit more. So that, again, was an incredibly special achievement for Mark Robinson and the club to bring that trophy home to the fortress. In addition to that, in the One Day Cup, I mean, we're missing so many players for the 100. I think we're missing well over 10, 12 players. We're bringing in academy lads, the likes of Ashish Chakrapani, Manraj Johal, Jacob Bethel, and they really exceeded expectations. I think the Warwickshire lads that we've got right now, in terms of that under 22 bracket, are so, so good. They're brilliant to watch. They've got such a bright future, and I definitely think they're going to be maybe achieving higher honours in future seasons. And as if that wasn't enough, the T20 Blast, and I know it ended in heartbreaking circumstances down in Canterbury. I was there for that game. I was bitterly disappointed with how it ended. But considering that we hadn't made the playoffs in the Blast since 2017, to reach that stage in the first place was an achievement in itself. So for me, Don Robbo is my coach of the year, without a shadow of a doubt. He's completely changed the culture of Warwickshire County Cricket Club, and he's turned this team into a group of winners. There's a real team chemistry. There's a wonderful dynamic at Edgbaston at the moment, and there's a winning culture in that dressing room. So for that reason, Mark Robinson, definitely my head coach of the year. But again, Joe, we do have to agree to disagree on this one. So we may have to put that up to a Twitter poll, listeners, yet again, on at the Counter Cricket 2. You can find that poll in due course. But yeah, what a season it was for Kent's. First T20 Blast trophy since 2007. And for my beloved Warwickshire as well, first championship since 2012. So, yeah,
And for Lanx.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I think he's done well with that unit. But I think Lanx, in order to be in the head coach of the year bracket, I think you have to be challenging for trophies and actually winning them.
We were challenging. Oh, yeah, you didn't say that. If we win the Bob Willis trophy, could I have...
Absolutely, yeah, because Lanx did have a good season. And again, he's a good coach. And to be fair, Lanx heading into next year as well have a lot of promise, don't they? I mean, you've got some wonderful young players, Tom Hartley, George Balderson, George Lavelle. I mean, even Matt Parkinson, he's still only 25 years of age.
We just signed Phil Salt and he's, what, 20, 24?
How much has he achieved at the age of 24? It's staggering.
It's going to be scary next season for bowling attacks and batters as well. Watch out for Lanx, that's all I'll say.
Yeah, certainly. We'll have to wait and see, won't we, Joe? But yeah, again, we've come to a disagreement on that one. So listeners, you'll have to determine that award for us. Moving on to our next one, or next two, I should say, Joe, I'm going to pass over to you entirely for this. You've got our Men's and Women's International Players of the Year Awards. So go for it, mate. Go ahead. And if you need me to, I'll add my 2 cents, but I'll leave this segment to you, mate.
All right. So, Men's and Women's International Players. So men's, firstly. Again, I mean, normally like you could argue this is biased, but I think this is fully deserved for me. Liam Livingston wins this. I mean, scored England's fastest ever T20 100 against Pakistan at Trent Bridge, that was that right? And played a pivotal role in the World Cup with the ball. He was excellent with the ball. He didn't really get to bat that much, but when he did, he hit, I think it was Rabada that he hit for that huge six, wasn't it? And yeah, he hit like three or four of them. For me, could be arguably the Ashes squad. I think, I don't remember who, I think it was Kevin Peterson who said that. I'm not sure who, I might be wrong on that. Someone said he should be in the Ashes squad. I'm not saying he should be, but I would put a strong case for him being there. And yeah, I don't know. For me, by far, England's best player, just generally this summer, or this year, I should say. And of course, there are other players who've done really well. Ollie Robinson, for example. He would probably also be up there, but I, of course, have to go with Ian Lewis.
No, fair enough, Joe. I'd agree with you on that one. I think it's been a fantastic year. Ollie Robinson as well. I mean, the fact that he's...
Yeah. I'd say those two for me.
He's taken his test wickets, an average of 20 in 2021.
And he's taken a lot of test wickets already.
Exactly.
So but I'd say for me, those two.
I would actually agree with you, Joe. To be honest, I'd go with Liam Livingstone. So we are in agreement on that one. And then for the women's, who have you gone with for the women's winner?
Yeah, I think, I mean, again, I think it kind of picks itself. Sarah Glenn for me. What is she now, third in the world, bowling wise? Kind of not came out of nowhere, but she kind of just rose very quickly through the ranks, and is now alongside, obviously, Sophie Eccleston, one of England's key bowlers. Those two as like a duo, a spin duo, left arm spinner and a leg spinner. You got a good mix of things going on, and they're an incredible duo. And I think Sarah Glenn, as I say, she's kind of risen up very quickly, and is a great bowler, and also scores a few runs with the bat as well. So for me, she's a deserved winner there.
Yeah, I'd agree, to be honest, Joe. Yes, Sarah Glenn has had an absolutely fantastic year for England and in domestic cricket as well. But someone else I just want to mention, right, is Charlie Dean. She has come through the ranks absolutely fantastically. She looks like such a great prospect for England heading into the future. And again, I think she's made the Ashes team, if I'm not mistaken. So well done to Charlie Dean. I'd put her name into the mix for Women's Player of the Year. But Joe, I will agree with you. Sarah Glenn, we'll go with her as our Women's Player of the Year. So our two award winners on the international front, Liam Livingstone and Sarah Glenn. So well done to each of those two. Both bowl leg spin as well, which is quite funny. An interesting coincidence, I suppose you could say there. But yeah, definitely worthy winners for the Three Lions and the Crown. So moving on from our international winners then, Joe, we have got our final award for today's Boxing Day special show, and that is the prestigious Breakthrough Player of the Year award. Now, in terms of how we did this, we set up a poll on Twitter involving four nominees who were all 22 years or younger in the 2021 season. And the award nominees were as follows. They were Harry Brook from Yorkshire, Archie Lennon from Sussex, Jamie Smith from Surrey, and Rob Yates from Warwickshire. Now, myself and Joe, we actually haven't seen the results of these polls just yet. Okay, we're going to reveal it in due course. But Joe, if you had the choice for Breakthrough Player of the Season award, which player would you have selected from the county circuit?
I think for me, I'd go for Harry Brook. I mentioned him actually earlier when we were talking about the Ashes. And I do think he's a real shout at some point in the future for an England debut in any format. I think he's a destructive batsman in all three formats. And for me, again, he's another one who's really just kind of similar to Ben Duckett's rise a little bit in what year was that, 2015, 2016? When he kind of came out of relative nowhere. And he's just been performing absolutely incredible for Yorkshire. And obviously now he's got a BBL deal with the Hobart Hurricanes. So for me, Harry Brook is a great player, and it would be great to see him one day play for England, hopefully in the near future, maybe in this Ashes series, who knows?
We'll have to wait and see, won't we, Joe? But you'd go Harry Brook. I might find the case of Rob Yates as well. He did score 793 championship runs, was absolutely outstanding. The 120 scored against Essex, against Simon Harmer, made Simon Harmer go wicketless for just the second time in his Essex career to date. I think that does deserve a lot of plaudits. But Joe, we have got the winner of this award. It has just been revealed on our Twitter account. Oh, it was so close.
I assume it was close between those two.
It was so, Joe, it was 1.6% of the votes.
Between those two players?
Between those two players, we had over 300 votes for this award. Archie Lennon got 16.1% of the votes. Jamie Smith got 10.2% of the votes. Rob Yates got 36.1% of the votes. and the winner of the 2021 County Cricket Podcast Breakthrough Player of the Season Award is Harry Brook with 37.7% of the vote. So well done to Harry Brook. Absolutely no complaints there whatsoever. Had a fantastic year. And just to give you some background context behind his performances, across competitions this year, 797 championship runs at 37.95, as well as 486 runs in the Blast with a 149.07 strike rate. So I've got no complaints there whatsoever, Joe. I think we are in agreement with regards to this award. So our Breakthrough Player of the Season Award here at the County Cricket Podcast, the man with one of the best names in cricket, is Harry Cherington Brook. So well done to Harry Brook, definitely a deserving winner. And congratulations to all of our winners as well for today's
prestigious
show.
Prestigious thing, the best in the level winner.
Prestigious. I mean, it's up there, isn't it, Joe, to be honest? It really
trophies
is up
in
there.
The post.
I'm not sure we have the budget for that, to be honest, mate. But we'll put something up on Twitter. That's something we can afford. But yeah, these prestigious, illustrious, glorious TCCP awards. Well done to all of our winners. Definitely, definitely worthy recipients. So that brings us to an end to the award segment of today's show. But before we end, I did just mention we have got one final segment, and that is the year in review for us two here at the County Cricket Podcast. So for those of the newer listeners out there, when did we start this podcast, Joe? It was August 2020, wasn't it? I think our first episode went live on the 25th of August 2020, basically at the height of lockdown cricket. And here we are, December 2021. You still managed to put up with me and my Warwickshire bias, which is an accomplishment in itself, to be honest. But in terms of the podcast so far, Joe, in particular in 2021, what do you say has been your favourite moment from the podcast in terms of maybe guests or segments or anything that has happened on the podcast this year? What do you say has been your personal highlight from TCCP in 2021?
Well, to be honest, I've really enjoyed, and I've only done two of them, but A Question of Cricket, I think they've been good fun to do. Bit of competitive spirit in there, obviously against myself, my team against Lucy. So I think that's been good fun. I think that's probably my favourite thing to do.
Fair enough. It's a good concept, isn't it, to be fair? I'll take on A Question of Sport.
Well done, whoever came up with that.
Yeah, the cricket connoisseur. But I do work hard on those, to be honest. I do take a lot of pride. And to be honest, the reception and the feedback that we've got from those shows has been absolutely fantastic. So A Question of Cricket will be returning in 2022 with some special guests as well. So keep an eye out for that. And in terms of the podcast as well, Joe, a few highlights for me personally. As a Warwickshire fan, speaking to the likes of Ricky Clark, Keith Barker, Jeetan Patel, to name but a few, right, of that 2012 winning squad. If I had told my 11-year-old self that I'd have the opportunity to interview these people, he probably wouldn't have believed me, to be honest, because these guys made up some wonderful memories from my childhood as a cricket fan. And to have got them on the podcast, you know, they've all been so nice as well. That really has put a smile on my face throughout 2021. So that'd be one of my highlights. In terms of another one, episode 109. I'll never forget episode 109. That was the final review show of the championship. And started getting a little bit emotional, to be honest, talking about Warwickshire's win on day four at Edgbaston. That was a remarkable moment. I never thought I'd be saying it on the podcast, to be honest, especially not after 1 year. I mean, I still can't believe it to this day. So yeah, that was a fantastic moment. And the other thing as well, Joe, it's not really one particular moment, but, you know, just everyone who's come onto the podcast and helped us out, you know, giving us their time, talking about their cricket journey or coming onto A Question of Cricket, you know, coaches, players, analysts, fans, journalists, every single person who's come onto the podcast, I've absolutely loved talking to. There has not been a single episode. I think we're 134 episodes in to the podcast as of this recording. And honestly, every single time I wake up in the morning on a podcast recording day, you know, just with that extra pep in your step, with a smile on my face, going into it thinking, well, we've got an opportunity to talk cricket here. And that's something that I absolutely love, and I certainly do not take for granted. So 100%. just from us lot here at the County Cricket Podcast, obviously Lucy isn't here, unfortunately, for today's recording. It's a shame she isn't, because she's been another addition in 2021, and a good addition at that. So you'll hopefully be seeing a lot more Lucy in 2022 as well. But just from us three, to all of our guests, a massive, massive thank you for taking the time to come onto the Counter Cricket podcast, because we wouldn't be over 100 episodes in without those people giving up their time, coming on, providing us with some fantastic insight, stories, analysis, memories, and just all of that good stuff which makes the podcast what it is. So a massive, massive thank you to our guests who have come on in 2020 and 2021. And just another thank you goes out to the listeners, to you guys at home or at work, wherever you listen to the podcast. I honestly mean this. It means the world to us. Without your support, we don't have a podcast. It really is that simple. We wouldn't have had a partnership with Bear Cricket, The Cricketer. We've got 5,000 followers on Twitter. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. We peaked at, I think, number 6 as well at some point this summer in the UK Cricket Apple podcast charts, which is incredible. It really is incredible. And again, that is down to people, avid county cricket fans, tuning in, week out, helping us out with guests, helping us out with things on social media. It honestly, it means so much to us. And if we could thank each and every single one of you, I definitely would. Okay, if you ever meet us at games, just come up to us. Okay, we'll talk county cricket with you for hours, especially me. I mean, at some point you might want to move seats. I might bore you a little bit, but honestly, all of the support that we've had on social media, in grounds this summer, with the podcast, you'll never know how much it truly means. So just the listeners out there, thank you so much. And honestly, just wishing each and every single one of you a very, very happy Christmas, a very happy new year as well. And fingers crossed 2022 can be a fantastic year for all of us, both inside the world of cricket and indeed outside of it. So, Joe, I think that is a lovely place, to be honest, to wrap up today's episode, the last episode of 2021. We're saying goodbye to this year's episodes, but 2022, we'll be back. We'll be back better than ever as well, fingers crossed, with a lot more guests, more content, more A Question of Cricket episodes. There's plenty to come from us three here at the Counter Cricket podcast heading into next year. So, Joe, any final words to close out the year as we head into 2022?
Not really, to be honest. Just echoing what you say. And yeah, hopefully England can win a test.
Well, yeah, fingers crossed. As I said, this is going out for the listeners tuning in on Boxing Day, or be today. If you're tuning in afterwards, then this would have been going out on Boxing Day. Fingers crossed England.
So Australia will either be 500 for one, or England will be bowled out for 50, and then Australia will be 500 for one.
I'm not even going to make a prediction. I'm not going to embarrass myself.
That's not a serious prediction. I hope. Well, it probably is.
Well, we'll have to wait and see, won't we, Joe? So fingers crossed England can, of course, turn their fortunes around in this year's Ashes. But from us three here at the Counter Cricket podcast for 2021, thank you very much, each and every single one of you, to tuning into our episodes. And please don't go anywhere for 2022. As I said, we've got plenty more content coming your way. And as always, guys, heading into 2022, we'll see you on the next one.